Look here in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20, and I have a handout on this. Acts chapter 20, 21 actually. Acts chapter 21 and verse 1. Acts 21, verse 1. Acts 21 and verse 1 through 7. So you can be looking in your Bible. We look at Bible verses here in our messages. Make sure these verses are in the Bible. All right. And so we have one of these great chapters, I believe, in the commitment of the Apostle Paul back in chapter 20. And so he makes this outstanding and impactive verse in verse 24. So I mentioned this several times, where he says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." So notice in this one verse there is so much packed in this verse. He's on course. He knows what the Lord wants for his life. He knows he needs to accomplish the Lord's will all the way to the very end. And he has a ministry, like we all have a ministry of some sort. And the Lord wants us to finish our ministry, and he wants us to finish our ministry in joy. So serving the Lord is joy, just like we heard in Sunday school, what gives us joy? Knowing the Lord and serving him. The world doesn't give us joy. We may have temporary joy about this or that, but what gives us real joy in this life is knowing the Lord and serving him. And it's the ministry that we've received of the Lord. Think of that. So whatever your ministry is in our church or in Brother Short's church there, it was given by the Lord. The Lord gave you a ministry. And so we are accountable for the ministry that we have. All right, so anyway, that's the background of chapter 20. But we're moving to chapter 21. So now we see Luke, who is recording this, is putting Paul's statement into reality. So anybody can say this. But none of these things move me. I'm going to accomplish God's will. All right, so several people are listening. Persons are listening. The Lord is listening. All right, so you're making this testimony, but none of these things move me. All right, test is on. And Satan's listening. So Satan is thinking, no way are you going to finish God's will. I am going to get you off track. The battle's on. So the Lord says, all right, I'm going to allow the devil to prove you. Allow the devil to prove you, and see how quickly you're knocked off of track. And so many people are easily knocked off. And so, but this is God's will for our life. So, if we take that verse and then we begin to read in chapter 21, chapter 21, Paul is eventually arrested and beaten and came close to being killed. But the Lord intervened. And then we see how he continued to do the Lord's will. And so these words are in verse 24, these are not empty words. And so we see Luke, who is recording this, is giving us the reality of his testimony. What a strong testimony. But remember, Paul is a pattern for us. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. He's a pattern for all who believe. All right, so that's why, let's look at this anyway. In verse 1, so I'll read the scripture. "And it came to pass that after we had gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara." Our Father, we pray that you bless us. We thank thee for the privilege to open the Word of God, hear from thee, pray that the Spirit of God will use these passages to speak to our hearts and help us to see the fruitfulness of Paul's testimony and realize that he's a pattern for us, and that we will have this testimony as well, and then we will demonstrate in our life the fruit of being faithful to this testimony. Pray that you'll speak to hearts now, we ask for, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my commentary on this, chapter 21, divides into two sections. So when you're going through the Bible, you might look at a chapter and say, all right, what's the flow of the chapter? How's it organized? Because the writer is God, and he uses human instrumentality, but he puts this in a certain order for a certain reason. So two sections in this chapter, which is the conclusion of Paul's third missionary journey, verses 1 through 26, and then his journey to Rome. So apparently, Duke wanted Theophilus. So who's Theophilus? Theophilus was the one recipient of two books, Luke and Acts. So Theophilus was a Roman official. He may have gone to Luke for physical problems. Luke then testifies to him about the gospel. He gets saved and so on. So now Luke's coming back, and Theophilus, Roman soldier, who may have a tremendous impact to the Roman Empire. I want to write you two books, Theophilus, the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Acts. So think of this. One man receives more inspired words in two books than any other writer has written. And so he receives these two books. So remember, these two books are written to one man. Now, obviously, he passed these on, and we have them today. All right, so Luke wanted Theophilus to have the inspired travelogue of Paul's journeys, which have benefited multitudes through the centuries. Luke recorded the reality of Paul's testimony. So here I'm going back over this. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And so in every one of these points, he's challenged here. He's not going to be moved. My life is dear. I count not my life dear to myself. So he's going to find out right away from some believers that there's going to be grave danger for you if you go to Jerusalem. You better not go to Jerusalem. We looked at some of those passages. And so his life is under threat. It's only by the grace of God that his life was spared from the Jews when he went there and they wanted to kill him. So these are not empty words. They're not empty words for him, and they're not empty words for us. So if we're serious about the Lord and demonstrating fruit in our life, we need to realize that the challenges will come. Now, having been warned about the dangers, Paul stopped at Tyre, Ptolemais, and Caesarea before reaching dangerous Jerusalem, only to be beaten and imprisoned. Luke recorded the 50 days or 7 weeks between Passover and Pentecost. So basically, Luke's giving this travelogue. He wanted to get to Jerusalem for Passover. He couldn't. So he wants to get to Jerusalem for Pentecost. So Pentecost, 50 days. So this is why Luke is going through so much detail. We spent a week here. We spent one day here. We spent so much time here. He's giving us the 50-day journey that Paul had to maintain in order to get to Jerusalem by Pentecost. So that's why we have all this historical data and travel data and a time element as well. So the plural pronoun we, so we see that in the 21:1, and it came to pass that after we, so who's the we? We is the writer. Who's the writer? Luke. So we, he says, plural noun we, included whom? Luke, Sopater, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, Timotheus, Tychicus, and Trophimus. We get these words or these names from the earlier part of chapter 20 in verse 4. So in verse 4, let's look at that because I'll come back to this a little later. So in verse 4, and there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea. So Paul started the Berean church. Sopater was a convert. And at some point he said, I want to follow this Paul. I want to do what he's doing. I've been converted and I want to be involved in preaching and teaching and evangelizing the world. So we have Sopater of Berea. And of the Thessalonians, Paul started another church, the Thessalonian church. Aristarchus and Secundus. And then he started another church in Asia, Derbe. Gaius was there. And then Timotheus. And Timotheus was from Lystra. And of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. So these seven men, along with Luke, eight men, and then along with Paul, nine men, were going to travel from this location all the way down to Jerusalem. They're going to go with him. So he had his mighty men with him. And so we have some of these exceptional men. These men, several of them are found in other places in Scripture, certainly Aristarchus, Timotheus, Tychicus. These are some of the outstanding men that Paul had won to the Lord and were so inclined that they wanted to follow him. They wanted to be with him, and they wanted to evangelize him and so on. So this is what the Lord does. He raises up mighty men who want to serve the Lord, and they want to be involved in the Lord's work. So here, as they make their journey eventually back to Israel, as we'll see here in the passage here, we have nine men. These men have to go on a ship. And so my point here is Luke said nothing about the financing of the nine travelers. So how these travelers, how these nine men get on this ship and end up on the Mediterranean coast of Israel, how did they get there? How did they finance that? Did they get free rides? How did they do that? They probably had to pay something to jump on the ship. What did they eat? We don't know, but the Lord took care of them. These are incidentals. The Lord takes care of these incidentals. Don't worry about the incidentals. How are you going to eat serving the Lord? Don't worry about that. How am I going to find that serving the Lord? Don't worry about that. Serve the Lord and the Lord take care of you. Amen. That's the message here. And but nine men, nine hungry men, how can that possibly take place? Well, remember the Lord in the book of Exodus, when Moses had to leave 2 to 3 million people through the wilderness, they all starved to death, right? No, that wasn't it. The Lord fed them every day and gave them water. 3 million people, I think that's the population of Connecticut. 3.5 million people in Connecticut were being fed every day by the Lord, and they had water supply every day. Imagine that? Well, that's a miracle. The Lord takes care. He takes care of his saints. So when we focus on these things, we see what Luke is trying to demonstrate here. Anyway, let's look further here. So we have these, the physician, as Luke wrote, is changing his medical log. Remember, he's a doctor. To a travel log. So he gives a lot of detail. So remember, in Luke's writings, his physician background comes out. He likes all the details of a person. Who were your parents? Are they still alive? What do you do? How old are you? Where'd you come from? What's your religion? He asked all these questions in his medical log, and now he's giving great detail in his travel log. And this is all inspired. Now, obviously, the best way to go through this is to look at some sort of a map, but you can at least imagine this in your mind here. So here, anyway, he's giving a detail about the 60 nautical mile trip from Miletus, which is on the coast of Asia, and down around Kos. The word means prison, so this might have been an island where prisoners were put. A 50-mile trip then to the island of Rhodes. Rhodes means rosy. And we know about Rhode Island, right? At least two Rhode Islands, one there, one here. So anyway, I mean, where do you think they got the name? And the 65 mile trip around the southern tip of Asia Minor, so if you think in your mind there, around modern-day Turkey, to Patara, which means basket. So these apparently were day trips, so they'd travel in daytime in the ship, and then they'd come to port, stay there overnight, then they travel to the next port. So we get an idea. And so Luke is giving us this detail. We might say, I don't care about any of that. I want to know about the great theology of verse 1. Well, the great theology of verse 1 is the Lord has a will, and he's helps believers accomplish his will, even in geographical situations. He's behind the geography of our lives. Did you know that? Why are you people here today? Who orchestrated that you would be in Connecticut? What brought you here? What brought you here? So the Lord orchestrated the events that brought you here. Maybe you say, well, this is not my favorite state. I mean, the greatest state there is in Indiana. We all know that. But I really never was able to minister in Indiana. So anyway, but it wasn't my will. It was the Lord's will. How did he orchestrate this? You see, he's behind geography and our geographical background. So anyway, that's verse 1. Verses 2 and 3 now. Scripture says, and finding the ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. And when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade her burden. So he's given us these details. It sounds like Luke was on the ship, right? That's the whole point. He was. He was on the ship. He's writing in his travel log. He's writing this. And this becomes inspired scripture here. So in the providential working of the Lord, so steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. That's Psalm 37. They found the ship. They found the ship. We want to get over there to the coast of Israel. And where are we going to find a ship? Well, they found a ship that was going there. So, you know, they didn't have to look on the internet. They just found a ship that was going exactly where they wanted. The Lord is behind the providential working of the steps of a good man, ordered by the Lord. Think of that. So, and so they found the ship going across the 400-mile nonstop trip to Phoenicia, along the coast of Israel. So 400-mile trip across the Mediterranean Sea along the coast of Israel, north of Mount Carmel. So if you have an understanding of the map of Israel, Mount Carmel's up north. And but above that then would be the Tyre and Sidon. As an eyewitness on the ship, Luke saw the island of Cyprus. So the island of Cyprus. Now the island of Cyprus, this is where Barnabas was from. This is where the first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13, they went to Cyprus. They went back to Barnabas' home country. And then they went into Turkey and so on. So the island of Cyprus. And he says, on the left hand. So if you look on the map, the ship went around the right side of the island, so they could look out on their left hand to see the island there. So Luke is indicating he's an eyewitness, and we looked on our left side, and we saw Cyprus over there, and we went around Cyprus. All right, and then they come to the country of Syria. Syria is north of Israel, and her city of Tyre. Tyre means rock. And the inhabitants of Tyre had heard the Lord Jesus preach the gospel. This is back in Luke 6:17. Jesus went into Tyre and preached the gospel. It's very early. Apparently some disciple, maybe it was Philip. Remember, Philip went to Samaria, and then he went north of that to Caesarea. He might have gone as far as entire evangelizing and starting churches. Starting churches. The inhabitants of Tyre, and heard the Lord Jesus Christ preach the gospel. Apparently some disciple, perhaps Philip, started the Tyre Baptist Church. So the ship reached her destination and loaded ware. And so here he says, they came to, verse 3 says, and when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed to Syria and landed in Tyre. For there the ship was unlaid her burden. All right. And as we'll notice here in the next verse, he says, in finding disciples. Finding disciples. What do you mean disciples? Well, in the New Testament, a disciple is somebody who received Christ as Savior. Amen. Somebody who is baptized by immersion. Amen. And somebody who's baptized by immersion to a local church. Amen. So these disciples made up the Tyre Baptist Church. So I use the word Baptist because that's the only thing we have going on here. People were baptized by immersion. What would you call somebody like that? So even though the scripture doesn't say that, we make these assumptions. And so he goes there, and they find disciples. All right, so as soon as they got off the ship, they probably wondered, is there a Baptist church here? Are there believers here, an assembly somewhere? And so they found them out. They located them. They found them. Maybe it was a house church. We don't know. They no doubt were looking. They were looking for believers. All right, so Scripture says, verse 4, or my commentary says, Apostle Paul's manner was to look for biblical churches throughout Israel. Because of Saul's persecution, Baptists scattered from Jerusalem and established churches throughout. The scripture affirmed here. So we're looking here at Acts 9:31. Acts 9:31 says, then, so the then comes after Paul's conversion. Remember, Paul was converted in Acts chapter 9? And so the news gets out. Saul of Tarsus has been converted. He's one of us. He was baptized through the Damascus Baptist Church. He's one of us. So the then says, then after he's been converted and is a church member and serving the Lord, we see this in part of Acts chapter 9, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. We can take a big, deep breath now because Saul of Tarsus has been converted and he's become one of us. Yes, amen. This is exciting. Amen. Let's continue to start churches. They were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost and were multiplied, Acts 9:31. With the news of his conversion, the churches were edified and multiplied. So let's look here, read the rest of verse 4. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. All right, so as we notice here, this is one of several groups of individuals who are warning Paul. Paul, you go to Jerusalem and you're going to be killed. We just feel that this is going to happen to you. This is a hotbed, and for you, as a former member of the Sanhedrin, to go there, they hate you. That's why they're chasing you around the countryside, because they hate you. You're an apostate. You better not go back to Jerusalem. So the Spirit was impressing upon them, on others, that there'd be danger. So they interpret this, you shouldn't go in a place of danger. So what did Paul already say? What did he say in chapter 20, verse 24? But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear in myself. Now he's not going there as a fool. He's going to there. He wants to preach on Pentecost and see many, many Jews converted just like Peter preached on Pentecost. That's his burden. He says that to testify the gospel of grace. So I want to go back to the Sanhedrin people I knew. These men I was with when we persecuted the Christians. I want to go back to them and see them all converted. They had a burden for that. So they told him through the Spirit was prompting them that there would be danger. There would be danger there. All right. So anyway, the Tyre Baptist Church was the product of Saul's conversion. Think of that. Can you imagine the conversion with Paul? A conversation, rather, with Paul. So why were these churches started? Because Paul brought persecution to Jerusalem, so the disciples scattered everywhere, and when they went somewhere, they started a church. So the Tyre Baptist Church was a product of Paul, of Saul, and his persecution. So Paul was really forcing churches or disciples to start churches in his unsaved state. Think of that. But now he's converted. All right, so can you imagine the conversation that the members there at the Tyre Baptist Church had with Saul, Paul now. Can you imagine the conversation? It might have gone something like this. As an unsaved man, you, Saul, Paul, slaughtered some of our family members and some of our friends. And so we remember our loved ones were scattered out of Jerusalem by this man named Saul of Tarsus, and you were behind imprisonment and the killing of Christians, and maybe some of their family members had been killed by Saul. Now he's back in their church. But they embraced him as a believer. And they forgave him, by the way. Forgave him. Can we forgive? Can we forgive somebody who would kill a loved one and then ask for forgiveness? Could we do that or not? No, I couldn't do that. I don't forgive anybody. No, we better have a forgiving heart. And so you see how weighty this would be on them. You killed some of our friends and family, but now you're back here as a believer, and they had blessed fellowship. This is what conversion is about. Conversion is about. So the conversation, as an unsaved man, you slaughtered some of our family and friends. Now you are such a blessing that we want to fellowship with you. And you're converted men. By the way, who are these men with you? Oh, these are my converts. Oh, we want to fellowship with you now. Think of this. Think of the drastic change in this as these churches would have. Now we have Paul is visiting us. Think of that. So, Genesis 50:20. You meant it unto evil, but God meant it unto good. And so the Lord used this evil man, Saul of Tarsus, to get churches planted. Then he converted him. Then he goes back and becomes a blessing where he'd been a curse. A major change. This is radical. Radical. But this is what happens. And this is the fruit of his conversion. So the Baptists then fellowship 7 days. No doubt, including the church service. And some of the church members prophesied through the Spirit that he should not go to Jerusalem. So the Spirit impressed upon him, on them, if he goes, he will be persecuted and so on. But he wasn't disobeying the Spirit because very clear. He knew exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. So we might say, the Lord impresses upon me that if you do this or do that, you might have some very serious spiritual challenges. But that doesn't mean you can't do it. It's just spiritual advice. You might have some real challenges here. And so there are different passages. We can look a couple of them here, 19:21. Let's see. Let's see, where are we? Here he purposed in spirit. This is in verse 21. Purposed in spirit when he was passed through Macedonia to go to Jerusalem. So he purposed in spirit. Chapter 20, 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that should befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. All right, I'm going to go. I'm going to have afflictions and be bound. But none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. See, there's a context here. He realized that. And other believers were saying, if you go, the Jews are going to get riled up against you. They may want to kill you. You better not go. But he was bound in the spirit. I'm going. You see that? So there's a context on all that. Now, in verses 5 and 6. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. All right, so now they're done. The 7 days are up, and they go out. So the commentary here, after 7 days, the ship left, and Luke revealed the church members with their wives and children accompanied the 9 men out of the city and the shore. Now, keep in mind, these 9 men stayed there in the church and no doubt had fellowship with the families. Had fellowship with the families. And it says here, families or adults, wives and children. So can you imagine that? Here, imagine the fond memories that those adults and their children would have as they ministered to Paul and the mighty men. And you imagine the children there sitting around listening, and maybe Timothy there. Timothy, children may have asked Timothy, or the family, Timothy, you're from Lystra. And that's where Paul was stoned. Did you see Paul get stoned? Probably did. How did that impact you? It impacted me so much that even though my mother and grandmother taught me the Word of God, I got saved. And others here as well, as you look back at these men, the families and children. They're talking here about these men. Aristarchus, tell us about your conversion. Tell us about your conversion. And Tychicus. Tychicus was a mighty man there at the in the Corinthians. And so the family gets to talk to these men as maybe they're staying with them, having personal time with them, and so on. And these young people, as they grow up, and the years go on and so on, these young children hearing these men of God in their presence might be telling when they grow up and get married and have children, they might say, you know what? We had Tychicus at our house. We had Luke the physician at our house. We had Paul the apostle at our house. We ate with him. What amazing thing. What amazing thing there. And so what kind of impact would that have? See, that's the value of having our young people, especially around men of God. Years down the road, some of you young men will say, you know what? We knew Pastor Dave Smith. Dave Short. Knew, but Pastor Dave Smith, too. Yeah, no, we know a lot of pastors, anyway. We know Pastor Dave Short, a pastor, started several churches, and we had him in our church, and we had fellowship with him, and we knew him and his wife. And they're telling their children. You know, August might say one of these days when he gets married, has children, grandchildren, Lord doesn't come back. his grandchildren might be saying, August, you mean you traveled internationally to Korea, and to the Philippines, and you met with some of these godly pastors around the world. Tell us about that. Tell us about that. See the impact that that can have? Impact that that hand can have? I remember one time we had a Filipino pastor and medical doctor at our house. Dr. Othello, I forget his last name. But we had him over for our house and so on, and had dinner with him, and he was visiting and so on. So I talked with him for probably around till 10 o'clock at night. He's going to stay overnight with us, but it was bedtime for me, so I went to bed with one of my sons. I wanted to sit around and talk to him about the medical profession, about missions, and about serving the Lord, and so on, and had an impact. Had an impact. So, these young people, the children here, they had the opportunity to hear these men of God. Amen. And no doubt that would have a big impact on them. And so we're thankful for the fellowship that we have. We have several types of fellowship here. One is we have lecture series. So a lot of our young people go to lecture series. They hear pastors from numerous churches around here. And I remember this pastor, and I remember that one, I remember this one. And so this is a very significant. So you can imagine these families thinking about that. We remembered back. We only saw the Apostle Paul one time, but he came to our house and had dinner with us. What an impact. And that's the type of impact we want our young people to have. And our adults to have as well. So anyway, they kneeled down on the shore and prayed, no doubt, for the safety of the mighty men and Paul. And then the men boarded back on the ship, and the church members of Tyre Baptist Church returned home. So here he gives the conclusion of all this. Then in verse 7 says, "And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren, and abode with them one day." All right, notice here, saluted the brethren. Saluted the brethren. So the earlier disciples, they saluted the brethren. These were Baptists, no doubt, men who'd been saved and had a church there in the area. And so once again, we see the fruit of Paul's life, and now he's going back, not as Saul, but he's going back as Paul. And going back to these churches, which through his evil influence, God meant it for good. God meant it for good. Now Paul can go back and rejoice and say, "Amen, I'm glad what the Lord's done to me. He's converted me and been able to use me to reach these people and be a blessing to them." So, so then in verse 21, reboarding the same ship at Tyre, they sailed about 28 miles south on the Mediterranean coast to Ptolemais. They saluted the members there at the church and abode with them one day. So Paul's making his rounds, and he's encouraging these brethren here and telling them, and no doubt they're praying for him. They're telling him, he's telling them, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to preach to the Jews." And they're saying there's going to be danger, but none of these things move me. I'm going to do the will of God. Our Father, we pray that you bless us now. Thank you for the passage at hand and the scriptures that we can look at here and realize the reality of all this. I pray that you might help us be strengthened in the Word of God and think through some of these truths and be edified in the Word of God and have a testimony, as these men did, that they wanted to do the will of God. I pray that you might deal with all of our hearts. Help us to examine ourselves. Am I committed to serving the Lord? What's the Lord have for me? By God's grace, I'm going to do the Lord's will. I pray that you speak to hearts now and bless us, we ask. We pray these things in Jesus' name.